on Rashi's Secret Wisdom and the Guide to Proverbs. The Book of Proverbs is found in the third section of the Tanakh. We have the Torah, Neviim, and Ketuvim, and Proverbs is found in that third section. And I'm going to share a screen with you, and let's take a look at a little bit. Let's get a better understanding of this third section of the Tanakh, which is called the Ketuvim, or the Writings. The Gemara tells us, the Talmud tells us in Baba Batra, the order of the books in the third division of the Torah, of the Tanakh. And it says to us, Siduran Shaktuvim, the order of the books, the writings, Rut, Tehillim, Iyov, Mishlei, Kohelet, Shir HaShirim, Hinot, Daniel, Megillat Esther, Ezra, the Divrei HaYamim. The order of the books in this third section of the Tanakh of the writings is the Book of Ruth, and then Psalms, Job, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Songs, the Book of Lamentations, the Book of Daniel, Megillat Esther, Ezra and Nehemiah, and the Book of Chronicles. What is the logic in this order? This is not the order of the books of the Tanakh in the Ketuvim that we have in our Tanakh today. So if you look at source number two, what does Rashi say to us? He says, Rut Kadma, why is Ruth put first in the books of the writings? Because chronologically speaking, it happened first. After all, the book of Ruth happens in the beginning of the Judges period, and the Judges happened in the beginning of the period of the Nevi'im. After the book of Ruth, we have Tehillim. Why Tehillim? Rashi tells us, David Amran, Behu Kadam the Iyov. Okay, so the book of Tehillim comes next, the book of Psalms, because David wrote the book of Psalms, and therefore David comes chronologically after Ruth. After all, we know that David came from the family of Ruth. Afterwards, we have the book of Iyov, because according to one opinion, it happened during the time of Malkat Shva. Malkat Shva was the queen of Sheba and came to visit Shlomo. And at the end, we have the three books of Shlomo. We have Mishlei, Kohelet, and Shir HaShirim. Alrighty, so that is the order that the Talmud tells us is the order of the books of the writings. It's in chronological order, according to the Talmud's version or thought of what chronological order was. But that's not the only order that we see in the Talmud. We see other orders in different books. And if you look at the source on the bottom of the PowerPoint, in the Gemara in Brachot, what order are we told? Shlosha Ketuvim Gdolim Heim. There are three large books of the writings, or the Hagiographa. That's the third section of the Tanakh. And this is all pertinent with regarding dreams. Haroeh Sefer Tehillim, if one sees the book of Psalms, it's tel chasidut, he may hope for piety. If someone dreams the book of Mishlei, the book of Proverbs, ite lechokhma, he should hope for wisdom. And if he dreams about the book of Iyov, which is quite unusual to dream about Iyov, he will need ad min haporanut. He shall be fearful of the punishment. Okay, so what do we see? We see that the three books of Tehillim, Mishlei, and Iyov are in a different order than they are in the Gemara and Baba Batra. There it went Psalms, Job, and then Mishlei. And the Gemara and Brachot, it went Tehillim, Psalms, Mishlei, and then Job. All right, and if you open up your Tanakh, if you have it in front of you, if you open up your Tanakh today, what is the order of the books that we have in terms of the Tanakh? What's the order that we have? We have the order that we find in the Gemara Brachot. We have Tehillim, Mishlei, and Iyov. All right. So it's interesting. We know there are 24 books of the Bible. Those books that were put into the canon, it's a clear decision what books are part of this canon. But it's interesting that the order of these books, excluding the Torah, but the order of the books in the Ketuvim have different orders than the Tanakh that we have today, that over history, the orders of these books were changed. All right. So today we are focusing on, in our short series, on the book of Mishlei. What we have in front of us are Rashi manuscripts, and these Rashi manuscripts are found in libraries throughout the world. We have no original manuscripts from Rashi himself. It seems like when the Talmud was burnt in Paris, his original manuscripts were burnt itself. And so these are manuscripts that were written after Rashi lived. They were copied from previous manuscripts. And this is one found in the Roma Cosentense Library. It's from the 14th century. You can see it's a very beautiful and very clear manuscript. What is the order of the books in this manuscript? Well, we see here, first of all, on the, we go from right to left to the Hebrew. We see where the yellow arrow is. We see Chaslat Iyov. Okay, the book of Iyov has been finished. And then we move on to the next page, and it's Mishle. So we have the order of Iyov, Mishle, in this medieval manuscript. That is the order that which we saw earlier. In this manuscript in the Oxford Bodleian Library in Oxford, it's a very, very early manuscript from the 12th century. We also have the order of Iyov and then Mishle. And if we look at one more, this is found in the British Museum, the British Library. It's a later manuscript. And here we have the order of Tehillim and Mishle. That's the order that we have today in our Tanakh. Alrighty, so it's interesting that these medieval Rashi manuscripts, and you can see each of them are different, these medieval Rashi manuscripts have different orders. The order that they have in the Rashi manuscripts was the order that was in the Tanakhim of their time. And we see that different geographical regions and different time periods ordered the books of the Ketuvim in different orders. So when you're looking for Rashi to Mishle and you're using medieval manuscripts, you're going to have to search around sometimes to see, will Mishle be before Iyov? Will Mishle be after Iyov? To find the exact placement. Who authored the book of Mishle? Okay, who authored the book of Mishle? Alrighty, so one other note before we talk about authorship is that these three books, Iyov, Mishle, and Tehillim, are often paired together. They're often paired together, and they're called Sifrei Emet. Ha'amei Emet. What does that mean? We know that the Tanakh has cancellation marks, right? They have marks that above the letters or below the letters, and these little marks are marks that tell the person, they punctuate the verse, and they also tell the person who's singing the verse how to sing it. So that you learn how to read it the proper way, you sing it the proper way. And all of the books of the Tanakh have a certain standard or a certain type of cantillation mark, except for the three books of Iyov, Mishle, and Tehillim. They have their own set of cantillation marks, and that seems to be because they are poetry. And we know that poetry, often the verses are shorter, and therefore the cantillation marks of the Ta'amei Emet are different than the regular ones for the rest of the Tanakh. So we see, what have we seen so far? That we have these three books, Tehillim, Mishle, and Iyov. These are the major books of the third section of the Tanakh called the Writings or the Hagiographa. The order of these books changed throughout history, and we saw that in the manuscript, until the order that it has today in our Tanakhim of Tehillim, Mishle, and Iyov. And additionally, of course, the idea that different cantillation marks pertain to these books. Who wrote Sefer Mishle? So if we open up chapter 1, verse 1, if we open up, what will we see? If you open up your standard, we will see that they were written by Mishle, Shlomo, Ben Ben David, Melech Yisrael. Right? These are the parables, or these are the words, the proverbs of Shlomo, the son of David, the king of Israel. Ready? So that's how the book begins. We're going to now go on to a source sheet, which I have uploaded, and it's also here, and see what the Gemara has to say about the authorship of Sefer Mishle. The Gemara in Baba Batra says the following. Chizkiyahu v'siyato katzvu Yeshayahu Mishle Shir HaShirin v'Kohelet. Chizkiyahu and his colleagues, they wrote the book of Isaiah, Proverbs, Shir HaShirim, and Kohelet. Which is very unusual. After all, we saw the opening phrase in the book of Mishle, it said, these are the proverbs of Solomon, the king of Israel, right? So why is the Gemara attributing authorship to Chizkiyahu if we're told from the very beginning, these are the proverbs of Solomon? So source number two, what does Rashi tell us? Mishle Kohelet, Dichtiv the Sefer Mishle, because it says in the book of Mishle, verse in chapter 25, verse 1, אשר העתיקו אנשי חזקיהו, ואז שחזקיהו גרם להן לעסוק בתורה, כדאמרינן בחלק, נעץ חרב על פתח בית המדרש, וכולי נקרא הדבר על שמו. Rashi is pointing out that in chapter 25, verse 1 of Sefer Mishlei, King Chizkiyahu is mentioned. And if you have a Tanakh, let's open up. Okay, if you have a Tanakh, let's open up to Mishlei, chapter 25, verse 1. And indeed, what are we told? Gam Elam Mishlei Shlomo, these are also the words, the Proverbs of Shlomo, Asher Hatiku Anshei Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, that were copied by Hezekiah, the king of Judah. Okay, so we're told here that Chizkiyahu HaMelech Hatik, he copied the Proverbs of Solomon. What does that mean, Hatik? Does it mean to write? Does it mean to copy? We know in modern Hebrew it means to copy. Okay, but it's questionable what it means here in our source. But clearly, what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying that Chizkiyahu wrote it. Rashi is coming to say to us, it's not that Chizkiyahu actually wrote it, but Chizkiyahu is responsible for many of these parables because Torah was being learned. And let's look for a moment at what he's trying to tell us. All righty, so what is our source telling us? I just have to hold on a second. I'm trying to close this chat box so I can read here. Hold on a second. How to do that. Hold on a second. I'm new on this WebEx, so I have to apologize. All right. Ezra, are you still there? I'm trying to just see if I can move this over. Oh, I got it. I can move this over. I can't see my whole PowerPoint here because of the chat box, but I'm trying to see if I can, hold on a second, move over this panel here. No, I don't know how to do that. Hold on. I'm experiencing it. I apologize to all of you. Just can't read. Ezra, how do I close this box where the chat is so that I can see the full PowerPoint? Hold on a second.
Click on the arrow next to the chat box.
I got it. Well. Okay. Hold on. Okay, I see. All right, I see it's hard. Okay, fine. All righty. So we're now, I'll go back into, I don't know how to make it small. I'm trying to. Hold on a second. My husband's here to help me. Whatever. Can you move that over for me? Forget it. If I can't do it, I'll just stop the... All right. Don't forget it. Okay. Sorry about that. In any event, okay. So what we're trying to understand, what's the connection between Chizkiyahu, okay, and the book of Mishlei? In chapter 25, it tells us that Chizkiyahu copied, okay, he copied the book, the Proverbs of Solomon. And I want to point out, this is the only editorial note that we have in the whole Tanakh. This verse, in chapter 25, verse 1, is a very exciting one because it's telling us that somebody else was involved in the writings of King Solomon. We have no other editorial note like that, to the best of my knowledge, in the rest of the Tanakh. So let's read about this Chizkiyahu and why he is responsible somewhat for the being involved with the Proverbs of Solomon. Okay, so the verse in Sefer Yeshayahu, I hope I can read the whole thing because it's hard for me to see the right side. And it shall come to pass in that day that this burden shall be taken away from your shoulders and his yoke from his neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed, something with oil. Hopefully that you can see that. Hold on. I don't know why I can't move it. But Yitzchak the Smith said, this means the yoke of Sancheiriv shall be destroyed on account of the oil of Chizkiyahu, which burnt in the synagogues and schools. He planted a sword by the door of the schoolhouse and proclaimed, whoever does not study Torah will be pierced by the sword. Search was made from Dan till Beersheba, and no ignoramus was found, from Gava until Antipatris, and no boy or woman or girl was found who was not thoroughly versed in the laws of cleanliness and cleanliness. According to tradition, Chizkiyahu HaMelech was responsible for the expansion of Torah learning throughout the kingdom of Yehuda. It was tremendous, tremendous erudition and learning of Torah. And because of that, he is attributed knowledge that was learned at that time is attributed to Chizkiyahu. So Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda was known with a time period of known, which was known for great wisdom and so on. And so therefore, it would make sense that the Proverbs of Solomon, okay, would be edited, would be put together at that time period, right? So according to the Talmud, according to the book of Mishlei, the book is written by Shlomo, but it's Chizkiyahu and his committee that are very, very involved in organizing this book and putting it into the order that it is today. So that's regarding that authorship. So the book of Mishlei opens with the name of Shlomo. But in two other places in the book of Mishlei, we read about that Shlomo is the author. Okay, we see the first one on our page. Then again, Mishlei Shlomo ben Chacham Yisamach Av uben Ksil Tugat Imo. And then we see a third time, okay, in chapter 25, Eilat Mishlei Shlomo Asher Hetiku Anshei Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. So we see three superscriptions in the book of Mishlei that attribute authorship to Mishlei, to King Solomon. And that makes sense because we know of Solomon's tremendous wisdom, and it would make sense that he would be the one who would be responsible for over 900 proverbs that are found in the book of Mishlei. And Solomon's great wisdom is told to us in the book of Kings. Right? In the book of Kings, chapter 5, we're told that God gave great wisdom to Shlomo. Vayitin Hashem Elohim Chokmah l'Shlomo Tuna Harbei Me'od. He gave him great wisdom. Baruch Havlei Kachol Asher Sfat Hayam. Okay, and he gave him wisdom like on the sands of the sea. I'm going to read it from my Tanakh because, as I said, I'm having problems moving the PowerPoint to be able to see the right-hand side. So I'm just going to read it from a Tanakh so that I don't miss out. Okay, so now we're on verse 10. Vatevrev chokmat Shlomo, and Shlomo's wisdom was greater lechokmat kol b'nei kedem from all the people of the east, umikol chokmat Mitzrayim, and from all those the wisdom of Egypt. Ve'achkan mikol Adam, and his wisdom was greater than all men. Me'etan ha'ezrachi, from a man named Etan ha'ezrachi, who was obviously a tremendous scholar. Ve'heman v'chal kol v'dardar b'nei machol, ve'hishmo b'chol ha'goyim saviv, and his name was known all around. Vayidaber shloshet alafim mashal. Okay, he told and he spoke 3,000 proverbs. Vayishiro chamisha ve'elef. And his songs that he wrote, that he composed, 1,005. Vayidaber al ha'etzim. He spoke about the trees, min ha'erez asher b'Lebanon, from the cedar tree in Lebanon, the ad ha'ezov asher yotze bakir, and the hyssop that would spring forth from the wall. Vayidaber al ha'behema v'al ha'of, and he knew about animals, and he knew about birds, al ha'remes, the al ha'dagim, I knew all about fish. And they came from all regions around in order to hear his wisdom. Okay, so we have this tremendous, tremendous description of Solomon's wisdom. And in this description of Solomon's wisdom, we're told that what? He spoke 3,000 proverbs. Righty? And so here's a clear connection to the book of Mishlei. But after all, in the book of Mishlei, we only have about 900 plus proverbs, yet here we say that he spoke 3,000 proverbs. So let's go to our source sheet and let's see what Rashi has to say about these 3,000 mishalim that he spoke. Okay, we're on source number 3. Rashi says regarding the 3,000 mishalim, shloshet alafim mashal, shloshet limudei mishalot, Shalosh Tamim Katu V'Sefer Mishlei, Mishlei Shlomo. Okay, so according to Rashi, 3,000 Mashal literally means three types of Mishalim. There are three compendiums of Mishalim in the book of Mishlei. And how does he know that? Because the name, the superscription, Mishlei Shlomo, was found three times in the book of Mishlei. We saw that earlier. Three times in the book of Mishlei, we have a superscription saying these are the proverbs of Solomon. So what does Rashi say? Shloshet alafim mashal means the three learnings or the three compendiums of Proverbs taught by Shlomo. The word alafim does not mean thousand, but the word alafim means teaching. And then he goes on to say, Vayhi shiro hamisha, and we said that his songs were 5,000. He says his songs were 5. Shlosha elef, we have the three compendiums. We have the three sections of Mishlei, which have superscription says these are the proverbs of Shlomo. And then we also have Shira Shirim, another book that he wrote, and Kohelet, another book. Together, that's 5. So according to Rashi, 1,005 songs means 5 here means the 5 different books that he composed. And once again, the word Elef, 1,000, doesn't mean 1,000, but it means teaching. And he goes on to say, Rashi, the Elef, the Chol Echad, Kdei Hu Lilmod, Umidrash Agada Shahaya Omer B'chol Pesuk Shloshet Elefi Mashal, V'al Kol Mashal Elef V'chamisha Ta'amim. Okay, so according to Rashi's explanation of our verses, which is quite original, the 3,000 does not mean 3,000 Mishalim. It means 3 collections of Mishalim. And 1,005 does not mean 1,005, but rather the word Elef, 1,000, means, again, 5 teachings. Okay, so 5 teachings means that we have the 3 collections in Mishlei. We have the book of Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, and the book of Kohelet written by him. Those are 5 collections that are written by what? Written by Shlomo. He then brings the Midrashic explanation. What does it mean, 1,005? After all, we don't have 1,005 poems that he wrote or songs that he wrote. It means that on every pasuk, he could expand it, okay? He could find allegories in each sentence of the Torah, 3,000 allegories, and also he could find 1,005 reasons. Okay, that's the Midrashic explanation. Okay, but what's interesting here is that Rashi here is cognizant, and this is what's important, of the 3 superscriptions in the book of Mishlei, meaning the 3 collections of Solomon's words. Okay, and we're going to get back to that in a moment. The Radak of David Kimchi, who is a commentary from Provence, who lived after Rashi, is also aware that we don't have 3,000 Mishalim from Shlomo HaMelech. Like I said, we have 900 plus in the book of Mishlei. What happens to all those other proverbs? And what does the Radak tell us in source number 4? Shloshet alafim mashal. Einam nimsa'im etzleinu. We don't have them. V'chein v'ayhi shiro chamisha ve'elef. And also the 1,005 songs that he wrote. Ki rabim svarim avdu l'Yisrael begulatam. Okay, because many, many books the Jewish people lost when they were in Galut. The Chol Mashachiber b'chokhmat hatev, and all the books that he composed regarding the world of nature. Kimosha Omer, like it tells us, Vayidaber al-Halitzim, Shehodiyat Teva v'refuatam, he composed books about trees and about botany and about natural science. V'chein ala behemad ala of, ala remeth ala dayim. V'chol Mashachachad v'agal hayareach, also astronomy. Okay, so these books were lost. But what's important here, like I said, is that Rashi is cognizant of these 3 collections in Sefer Mishlei. This opening session that we're having together is talking about the structure of Sefer Mishlei, because the structure of Sefer Mishlei is very, very unique. And Rashi's already picked up upon the fact that we seem to have 3 collections of Solomon's writing in the book of Mishlei. Let's go on. Let's take a closer look at these superscriptions in the book of Mishlei. Okay, and if we go on down to our next source is the Meiri. The Meiri was a commentator who lived in Provence, okay, a few generations after Rashi. And what does he say? He says there are 5 collections of in the book of Mishlei, meaning there are 5 superscriptions. And he says the following in his Hakdama, in his introduction to the book. I'm in source number 5. Umasanu bazeh ha-sefer, chamisha chalakim. We found 5 divisions in this book. First, we have Mishlei Shlomo ben David in chapter 1. And then we have Mishlei Shlomo ben Chacham in chapter 10. And then the third section is Gam Elam Mishlei Shlomo asher tiku, Anshei Chizkiyo HaGadol, which we talked about. And now he gives us two more collections. He says, number four, Divrei Agur Ben Yaken. Alrighty? The fourth collection begins with the words Divrei Agur Ben Yaken. We'll see that in a moment. And the fifth collection is Divrei Lemuel Melech Masa. Alright, he says there are five superscriptions in the book of Mishlei. And underneath here, for source number five, I brought them for you. Right? The first three we're familiar with, and the first three Rashi discussed. And Rashi actually even says that we saw that in Sefer Melachim, when it says 3,000 Mishalim, it doesn't mean 3,000, it means these three collections. Right? But four and five, he's the first commentator to the best of my knowledge, he clearly notes these other two collections that are not named with the name of Shlomo. Collection number four that starts in chapter 30, verse 1, Divrei Agur Ben Yaken, the words of the sayings of Agur Ben Yaken, Hamasa, the prophecy or the words, Ne'um HaGever Le'Itiel, all right, the words of the lad, of the man, to Itiel. And then he notes superscription number five, Divrei Lemuel Melech, the words of Lemuel the king, okay, Asher Yisrato Imo, the words that his mother chastised him with. All right, so we have two collections, four or five, that have superscriptions, and we don't know who these people are. If we look at source number six, a Midrashic text, Masechet Avot Rebbe Natan, what does Masechet Rebbe Natan tell us? Shisha Shemot Nikra Shlomo. Okay, that Shlomo had six different names. Yedidia, Kohelet, Ben Yaken, Agur, Lemuel. Okay, so according to Masechet Avot, these two last superscriptions, number four and number five, are code names. They're code names for Shlomo HaMelech. So according to Masechet Avot, then all these five superscriptions in the book of Mishlei would be attributed to Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon. Right? That's the opinion of the Masechet Avot of Rabbi Natan. But now we're going to see something very, very interesting. We're going to look at the commentary of the Rasag, Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon, who lived before Rashi. Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon lived in Babylonia, and he wrote in Arabic. So Rashi does quote Rav Sadia Gaon a handful of times in his commentary to the Tanakh, but he never quotes him firsthand because Rashi did not know Arabic. So when he quotes Sadia Gaon, he quotes him through reading him to either a medieval translation of his works into Hebrew or through word of mouth. What does Rasag say about our collection of Sefer Mishlei? Sadia Gaon says the following. The simple meaning of the text, which our sages refer to as the straightforward meaning of the text, is that there was a man named Agur who had a teacher named Itiel. This student received and transmitted the teachings of his teacher. Similarly, Chizkiyahu's school received and transmitted earlier teachings in Solomon's name. And Lemuel received and transmitted the teachings of his mother. Okay, so if you look, I'm not going to go back a page, but if you look down a little bit, we're talking now about numbers on this page, number six and eight. Okay, Agur is quoting Le'Itiel, that's later in number six. And if you look at number eight, Lemuel, okay, is quoting his mother. Okay, so now Rasag is talking about these different personalities. And he goes on to say, I'm on line number five, he, Agur, was famous among the people. It is possible that Agur, Itiel, and Lemuel, those are the names mentioned in number six and eight here on our page, are all references to Solomon. But he goes on to say the Rasag, despite these explanations, which are reasonable and possible, I prefer to understand the Hebrew names as they appear, and not to maintain that they are all names of Solomon. Rather, I am reading it in accordance with the straightforward meaning of the verse. Agur received these things from his teacher Itiel, who taught him what he is retelling. The Rasag is saying something astounding in the year 900, right, when he lived. He's saying that it could be that Agur and Lemuel the names that are attributed to those two collections. It could be that they are code names for Shlomo, like we saw in source number 6. He says, but I don't necessarily think so. I think according to the straightforward meaning of the text, these were sages, right? These were sages who received teachings. So the Rasag is telling us that he, Agur, was famous among the people. These are famous people. These were wise people. And their proverbs are being incorporated into the book of Mishlei. So this is really a very forward-thinking concept for Rabbi Nusajigol living in year 900. He's saying that part of the collection that are found in the book of Mishlei were not necessarily written by Shlomo, by Solomon himself. Right? And if you look at source number 8, source number 8 is Rav Moshe Kimchi. Rav Moshe Kimchi is the father of the Radak, Rav David Kimchi, lived in Provence in southern France. What does he write? Agur haya bimei Shlomo. Agur lived during the lifetime of Solomon. Holech biyoshro. He was an upstanding person. Yodei adat v'nichbad bedoro. He knew knowledge and he was honorable. Okay, in Hamelech Shlomo asaf divrei hochmato b'sefer. And that's why, what did Shlomo do? He gathered his writings and incorporated them into his book. The author of Moshe Kimchi attributes two of the five collections in the book of Mishlei. Two of those superscriptions do not belong to Shlomo, but rather what? But rather belong to sages that lived in the time of Shlomo, and he's incorporating that into his book. Right? This is really, like I'm saying, this is forward thinking for the time period that they're living in. So until now, we saw that Rashi had acknowledged the three collections in the book of Mishlei, and all three are attributed to Shlomo. Then the Eri came along and discussed five collections in the book of Mishlei. And we saw that according to the Rasag, at least one of them, right, at least one or even more than one, these two of them are being attributed to scholars who lived during the time period of Shlomo, and Shlomo incorporated those teachings into his book. Now I want to go one step further, and I want to take an even closer look at the book of Mishlei and the superscriptions in the book. And let's look now at under source number 8. What do we see? Under source number 8, we see that perhaps we might have 8 collections of the book of Mishlei. The first collection we're familiar with starts the book, Mishlei Shlomo ben David. The second collection begins in chapter 10, Mishlei Shlomo. The third collection, some scholars say, starts in verse in chapter 25 and 22, where it says, Hot oznecha ushma, hearken your ear and listen, divrei hachamim, the words of the sages. Okay, so some believe that the words of the sages is beginning another collection within the book of Mishlei. Look at collection number 4. Chapter 24, verse 23. These also are referring to the sages. Okay? So there are those that see this as the beginning of another collection within, a sub-collection within the book of Mishlei. We then move on to division 5. These are also in the parables, the proverbs of Shlomo. We've seen this, that were copied, that were compiled, that were edited somehow by the men of Chizkiyahu, the king of Judah. And we've talked about that. Number 6, collection number 6, Divrei Agur ben Yaker, the collection of Agur. And we saw that the Rasag questioned and mentioned that maybe this is not Shlomo, but another sage who lived in that time period. Collection number 7 starts with the word La'aluka, which can mean either a leech or could be the name of someone. And section number 8, collection number 8 begins with the word Divrei Mu'el. So we see that some scholars move from Meiri's division of 5 collections to a division of 8. 8 different groupings of proverbs, collections of proverbs within the book of Mishlei. And believe it or not, Tosafot, who is come from the Beit Midrash of Rashi, okay, they continue the learning style of Rashi. Tosafot in Masechet Avodah Zarah says the following. Pam is source number 9. You can read it in English. And what does he say? He says the following. Aluka. He's referring to the 7th division. Aluka. According to the straightforward meaning, it is Gehenim, or hell. But Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi's grandson, had difficulty with this explanation. Because in chapter 2 of Tractate Eruvin, that delineates the names of hell, the name Aluka is not mentioned. Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam, it's hard for him to accept that Aluka means hell, because in the Gemara, it said in the Gemara where names list, in Eruvin, where names list for of hell, Aluka is not mentioned. It seems to him, meaning it seems to Rabbeinu Tam, therefore, that this is the name of a sage, similar to the name, to the examples of to ETL. ETL is in compendium number 6, collection number 6, and to Mu'el. Mu'el is number 8, section number 8. And this is not one of the names of Solomon, as are Argur and Kohelet, because in the Midrash of three things which mention ETL, as another name for Solomon's name is not mentioned. Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi's grandson, is saying, it's being quoted, I'm sorry, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that number six, collection number 7, La'uluka, is not Shlomo, and it's not hell, and it's a scholar living at that time. So we see here that there is this feeling among many scholars, okay, many chachamim, or not many, perhaps that's not the right word, of some chachamim, there's an awareness that by closely looking at the superscriptions on the book, we see that Sefer Mishlei is composed of various collections, and not all those collections were authored by King Solomon. I want to look at source number 10. Source number 10 is the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, so we're skipping many generations. And what does he write regarding Mishlei and the authorship? He says on chapter 24-23, well, if you look on the source sheet, that is collection number 4, Gam Eile L'Chachamim. And what does he write the Vilna Gaon? V'chein v'mishlei asvu bo kol ha-chokmot v'hamusar ha-nogea l'avodat Hashem Yitzarach. And in Mishlei, they gathered all the sayings and the learnings that pertain to worshiping God. U'besof ha-sefer, and at the end of the book, Kavu, they set, Divrei Agur, v'gam Divrei Lemuel. They added the words of Agur and Lemuel. Those are collections number 6 and number 8. V'zeu shamar kan gam ele l'chachamim. Klomar, chachamim chibruze beruach hakodesh velo shlomo. Okay? The chachamim, okay, they gather this all together with divine inspiration and not shlomo. V'lachein amar acharkach, and therefore it says after that, after compendium, look up on the top of the page, after grouping number 4, gam ele l'chachamim, and we have number 5. These are also from Shlomo. So the Vilna Gaon is saying to us, v'lachein amar acharkach, gam ele mishlei Shlomo, l'pishi sik divrei shar chachamim. So the Vilna Gaon is telling us that these collections, certainly number 4, and possibly number 3, are not from Shlomo, but they're from other sages that had divine inspiration. So if we look at all we've seen until now, we see that various rabbinical authorities, okay, have noted that there's certain collections in the book of Mishlei that were not authored by Shlomo. And what leads them to that decision is the fact that we have these superscriptions which are mentioning various names. This is all well and good, okay? But the question is, what is Rashi? This is a class which is going to focus primarily on Rashi, but not only. What does Rashi believe? How does Rashi view these collections of Mishlei? So let's take a look, righty? And we're going to go one by one. Clearly, the first three, the ones that say Shlomo, we saw already, those were written by Shlomo. So really what we're going to have to look at, we're going to have to look at collection number 3 and 4 that attributed to the Chachamim. What does Rashi say? Collection 6, collection 7, and collection 8, right? Where the name of Solomon is not mentioned and other names are mentioned, we need to take a look at what Rashi says. Okay, so let's take a look. There's a question regarding Eshet Chayil. No, most scholars, Eshet Chayil, most believe, was written by Shlomo. The words of Lemuel, which we're going to see in a few moments if we have time, are the first, I believe if I remember correctly, the first 10 psukim in chapter 31. And then afterwards, we have Eshet Chayil. So the words of Lemuel in his collection are just those first 10, those 10 verses. Regarding the summary, your question about are the styles and words different to support that written by others, we're going to, in a few moments, look at the style of the book and see if there is a difference in style between the different collections. That's a very good question. Okay, so what does Rashi do with these other superscriptions? So Rashi on Perek HaBet, Hot oznecha shma divrei chachamim, hearken your ears, listen to the word chachamim, that vilno Torah mi chacham kol shehu, to learn Torah from a wise man. He clearly does not see the word chachamim as meaning that this collection is being written by chachamim. What about these words, the second superscription that has to do with chachamim in chapter 24, gam ela lechachamim, these are also attributed to the chachamim, which the Vilna Gaon does believe is attributed to the chachamim. He says, kol hadvarim shebe'inyan shel mata amurim lechachamim. He says, all the words that are about to be said should be told to the chachamim. So clearly Rashi does not look at the word lechachamim as the source of what's about to be told, but rather these are words of wisdom that are being told to the chachamim. Just to give you an example, we know Mizmor LeDavid. The question is, what does the word letter Lamed mean in Mizmor LeDavid? Does the word mean a psalm LeDavid to David? Or does it mean a psalm that is attributed to David, that David wrote? And that's really the question here. Gam Elo LeChachamim. Are these also the to the Chachamim? That's how Rashi sees it. Or are these attributed to the Chachamim? That's how others read it. Okay, so Rashi clearly looks at the word Chachamim in the two superscriptions and does not believe that these are words that are emanating from the Chachamim and that we have someone authoring something besides Shlomo. Alrighty, what about Agur, who we saw many attributed to someone being wise in the generation of Shlomo or after him? Rashi writes, Agur ben Yakeh, Divrei Shlomo. Okay, so he attributes, this is a nickname, the word Agur is a nickname, like we saw earlier in the source of Avot the Rebbe Matan. These are the words of Shlomo, Sha'agar, that gathered et Habina, gathered wisdom, that's why he's called Agur, the Hikia, and he vomited it, and it came out of him, and that's the word Ben Yakeh. He gathered it, and then he vomited it out. Kach Pirshu Chachamim. Okay, so Rashi is attributing that it's a rabbinic source. So we see here that Agur, according to Rashi, is not another source for for the collection. And what about the last? One moment. We have one more. Okay, we have two more. La'aluka. Remember we said La'aluka, Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi's grandson, saw La'aluka as a wise person who was living at that time. So Rashi writes, it's a leaf. Okay, La'aluka is a leech. He quotes Menachem, Menachem Patar. Menachem here is Menachem ben Sorok, who was the grammarian from Spain. Menachem explains La'aluka kemashma'o, as it sounds, meaning a leech. Rabbeinu Shehu Aravi. And we learn that it is in Arabic. Okay, so Rashi doesn't know Arabic. He's quoting Arabic through his source Menachem. The Hapotrim Omrim. And the French scholars, Hapotarim, say, Shulashon Sha'ol Umorad. It's an expression of the grave and descending. L'chein b'midrash Tehilim, and also the Midrash teaches us, Te Shepoter Shtei Banot Gan Eden V'Gehenem. Okay? They interpret the leech. Okay, in order to understand what Rashi is saying, we need to see the full verse. Okay? So for just a moment, if you open up to Mishlei, chapter 30, verse Tedvav, let's open it up so it because if you don't see the whole verse, you won't understand it. The verse says the following: La aluka, the leech shtei banot, has two daughters. Hav hav, and they say take, take. Alrighty. So what does Rashi say? What does the midrash say? Am I on the third line here? The midrash interprets two daughters as paradise and Gehenna. This one says, "Give me righteous people," and the other one says, "Give me wicked people." So clearly, according to Rashi, he's quoting various opinions. La'ulka is not the name of a sage who's written a collection. And the last person that I want to talk about is Limuel. That's in chapter 31. Divrei Limuel Melech, the words of Limuel the king. What does Rashi write? Divrei Shlomo HaMelech, these are the words of Shlomo. The word Limuel is a nickname for Shlomo. And why is he called Limuel? She'amar, that he said, Lamo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klomar, Bishil Sheva Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lamo Le'el, Lamo Fi. Okay? So Rashi is breaking up the word Lamo Limuel into two, Lamo El. Okay? For to El. Meaning, these are the words that Shlomo said to El, to God, after he has sinned. Okay, it's based on the Midrash. So we see here that according to Rashi, Rashi clearly believes that all superscriptions in the book of Mishle are attributed to Shlomo, King Solomon, in contrast to other sages that we saw, great scholars that lived before Rashi, that lived after Rashi. Okay, so that's very, very interesting in terms of our understanding of the book of Mishle. The book of Mishle is composed of collections. It is not one. It was not written. Even if we attribute all authorship to Shlomo HaMelech, which is fine and which is what Rashi does, the fact that there are different collections can hint to the fact that maybe these weren't all written at the same time. Maybe these come from various times in Shlomo's life. We're going to see that there's repetition in between the different collections. Maybe that can help us try to understand the repetition, et cetera. Okay, so let's now go back to our PowerPoint. Okay, if I can get it back here. I'm having a lot of operational difficulty. Okay, so I want to go on here. Okay, so to just sum up what we've done until now, we've seen clearly that Mishle is composed of collections. According to Rashi, it's three, and they're all authored by Solomon. According to Rav Menachem Meiri, the great medieval commentator, there are five. They are authored by Solomon, excluding perhaps one. Agur, chapter 30, he said it might be Shlomo, and it might be a scholar, a student of Shlomo. And later scholarship sees eight superscriptions, if not more, and they will say they're authored by Solomon and various other sages. Right, so that, in a nutshell, in terms of what we've done until now, a more in-depth understanding of how this book is composed. Okay, just as an aside, note that also regarding the book of Tehillim, we have collections. Alrighty, according to, and these collections, in contrast, which is interesting, in contrast to the book of Mishle, where it's the superscriptions, which allude to the fact that we have different collections. In the book of Psalms, it's the ending, okay? We have five different endings. You can see here on the PowerPoint. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Me'olam V'ad Olam, Amen, Amen. Baruch Shem Tovod Olam, Amen, Amen. Baruch Hashem Yisrael, okay? And according to Chazal, the five divisions of the book of Tehillim, correspond to the five books of the Torah, right? So in Jewish scholarship, in Jewish tradition, they saw this parallel between the five books of Tehillim and the five books of the Torah. So that's very known regarding the book of Tehillim. But now we see that there's a similar kind of idea with regard to the book of Mishle. All right, so let's now take a moment now and let's understand a little bit about these collections. They're different. Okay, the collections are different. Collection number one, which is chapters 1 through 9, are longer discourses and lessons. We'll read part of it just to give you a feeling of what it is. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if the sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless souls. Let's swallow them alive, like the grave, and whole like those who go down to the pit. And we will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us, and we will share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their path, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it, etc., etc. So we see that it's telling a story. It's a lesson that's in the casted in verses that are connected to each other, and the moral is given at the end. Right. So these are longer lessons, collections of longer lessons. That's what we find primarily in chapters 1 through 9. What happens in collections 2 through 5, chapters 10 to 29, which is the bulk of is a large bulk of the book of Mishlei? We have what is known as sentence literature, often one-liners, one line after another, not always clear the connection between the lines. For instance, in chapter 21, the righteous one takes note of the house of the wicked and brings the wicked to ruin. The next verse, whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. And then verse 14, a gift given in secret soothes anger, and a bribe concealed in the cloak pacifies great wrath. Meaning we have this, what's known as sentence literature, these one-liners, one right after the other. These are the proverbs, many of them that we know, that are famous. And it's very hard to find the connection between them. They're certainly, as you can sense, not telling the story like we saw in the first collection of chapters 1 through 9. So that's the collections 2 through 5. What about collections 6 through 8? Here again, we have longer discourses. We have something fascinating. Okay, in chapter 30, we have parables, we have proverbs that have to do with numbers. There are three things that are never satisfied, four that never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, land, which is never satisfied with water, and fire, which never says enough. The eye that mocks a father that scorns an aged mother will be pecked out of the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. And then once again, there are four things that are too amazing for me. Three things that are too amazing for me, four that I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, this is in chapter 30. This is, we have things that are, they have been placed together logically because of the numerical connection between them, okay? And we have created these larger gatherings of proverbs. And then, of course, in chapter 8, we have the words of Lemuel, and this precedes the Esh Hayil, right? So this is the very last chapter of Sefer Mishlei, and let's just read it. It's a famous one. The sayings of King Lemuel, and inspired utterance his mother taught him. Listen, my son, listen, son of my womb. Listen, my son, the answer to my prayers. Do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Let beer be for those who are perishing, wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty. Okay, she's talking about the dangers of alcohol to her son, who is the king. Alrighty, don't drink. All right, if you drink, you won't be able to meet the needs of the people, and you will be led astray. Right, so we see here once again, we have a collection with longer units that are placed together. And of course, right after the words of Lemuel, we have the famous poem of what? Of the Esh Hayil, which is also a collection of 22 verses of the acrostic according to the alphabet. Okay, so we see the structure, okay, at Sefer Mishlei is almost like bookend. We start with collection 1 with the longer discourses, chapters 1 through 9. We end with the collection 6 through 8, which are longer discourses, chapters 30 and 31. And the middle of the book, okay, the very, very middle, we have this sentence literature, which is one-liners, one at a time. So, Sarah, you asked earlier, are the styles and words different to support that they were written by others? It's hard to, if we're talking about, say, collections 2 through 5, and that contains the sections that have to do with the Chachamim, as well as some Mishlei, and one collection that has to do with Moshe, Solomon himself. It's really hard to differentiate between those collections. They're all sort of one-liners. But clearly, collection 1 and collection 6 through 8 are very, very different than collections 2 through 5. So it's very, very interesting that we've uncovered tonight the unique structure of Sefer Mishle. We understand now in terms of authorship, how we have those who see it only having been written by Shlomo, but yet we see there's sort of a flexibility according to some great Rabbanim and the Farshim, the willingness to widen the lens a little bit and to say that perhaps these were scholars living at the same time. Next week, we're going to actually start with chapter 1 of Sefer Mishle. We're going to look at Rashi's introduction to the book of Mishle and see how the structure in which he interprets the whole book, right? So that's our goal for next week. Are there any questions? I'm happy to answer. It's really Mishle is when you start peeling off and looking very, very carefully, you see very, very interesting things. Okay, thank you. Terrific. All right, so I look forward to seeing everybody next week, and I'll put onto the email, onto the website, what the topic is. But like I said, we'll be looking at his chapter 1, Rashi's approach to the book, and then reading parts of Mishle so we can get an appreciation of what Rashi is doing. Terrific. Okay, thank you.